Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Is anyone hungry for Jesus to speak to them tonight? It reads, the next day there was a wedding celebration. Who loves a good wedding in this place? Conan John loves a good wedding in this place. I guess he just came to mind. This is my third service, so anything could happen. There was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivity, so Jesus' mother told them they have no more wine. Verse number 4, "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. Now I just want to pause right there and just maybe give a little asterisk and just encourage you, unless you are the Son of God, do not respond to your mother as woman. I don't know what type of house you grew up in, but for people like me and my brother Aaron Cabay, it just wouldn't fly in our houses. And so all the parents said, amen. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come," but his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you," someone say "you," "have kept the best until now." The title of my sermon tonight, and I believe the message the Lord's laid on my heart for you, Nations Church, 5 p.m., is simply this: do whatever he tells you. This was the final words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, recorded in our Bible. And I believe that there is a prophetic flair on that line, that the reason water turned into wine is because the disciples obeyed the commandment of Mary. And I want to suggest to you tonight, miracles can happen, things can happen, things can take place in your life and in my life when we choose to posture ourselves in a posture like the servants and just simply do whatever Jesus tells us to do. So one last time, all across this place, would you just lift your hands high to heaven? Holy Spirit, I ask tonight that you would give us the boldness to do what you say. And I ask that you teach us to live a lifestyle close enough to hear your voice. I ask God, not only would we be a church who hears you speak, but we'd be servants that do what you tell us to do. That we would be those that follow the instructions of the Lord, and we would be those, Lord God, that see you bring miracles in our lives. We ask all of this. And I even ask tonight, Holy Spirit, right now, just prophetically from the outset of the service, say right now at this end of this service, Lord, let there be an activation of hearing the voice of God. Father, I pray for people that have been, I feel like there's individuals in this room and you've wrestled with the thought of hearing the voice of God. And I just feel for you tonight, the Lord is going to break something off your life and you're going to begin to live under an open heaven. The voice of the Lord's going to become clear to you. You're going to learn to discern the difference between your thoughts and God's thoughts. Father, I pray a gift of discerning of spirits to come on this room. God, I pray a gift of prophecy to hit this room. God, I pray an eagerness to hear your voice. And Lord God, I pray that with incredible clarity, we would be a group of people that learn to hear and obey whatever you tell us to do. We ask, we pray, and we believe it in faith, and we give you glory in advance for what you're about to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shouted, come on, let's give Jesus a mighty clap of praise. Oh, come on, we can just praise God for 5 seconds. We love you, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. You're so wonderful. And everyone said, amen. Can we give it up for Mitch one more time? Beautiful. You guys can take your seat. As you do, turn to your neighbor, tell him I prayed I'd sit next to you. I'm just helping out some single brother out there. Tonight's your night to get out of that situationship. Amen. Hey, We at Nations Church have 8 cultural statements, and I love this because these cultural statements not only define who we are, but they're also a prophetic statement of who we desire to be. And they're on our website under nationschurch.com/about us. You can read them there. But one of the culture statements that we've been leaning into as a church in this season is this culture statement that says, we are about reaching those far from God. We desire to see more. Someone say more. More people come into a personal relationship with Jesus. How many in this room know tonight there are more people outside the four walls of this church that need a relationship with God? How many know there's more people in your workplace? There's more people in your university. There's more people in your high school. There's more people in your playgroup that you drop your daughter at midweek. There is more people that God's desire isn't for them to live separate from Him, but come into a relationship with Him. And this whole season, we're talking about reaching those far from God, and it's so clear in Scripture, this is the heart of Jesus. And in fact, let's just do a quick survey in this room. How many in this room wants to see people that are far from God come into relationship with Jesus? Amazing, amazing. That's like a full house. And so we can all agree, we all want to see people come into relationship with God. In fact, we all want to reach those far from God. I think a greater question we need to lean into and ask tonight is, how do we reach those far from God? Because although the desire might be there, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a time that you tried to reach someone far from God and it just didn't go too well? Or am I the only person in church that's ever made a mistake while trying to share the gospel? I remember a few years ago, I'd had a season of time where I hadn't shared my faith. I hadn't invited anyone to church. I just, you know, when you just feel like you kind of haven't done the Christian thing for a while, you know, I was still praying. I was still reading my Bible, but reaching those far from God, it had been a while. And so it was a Monday, and, you know, I try every week get one day to just really have a Sabbath rest and be with God and spend time with Jesus. And it was a Monday and I was at Cottesloe Beach and I saw someone and I just said to myself, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna break out of my shell. I'm gonna go tell this person that Jesus loves them. And so I decided, I saw him and I made a beeline straight for him. And here I am walking over. The only problem is I didn't really consider it was winter, and so I was wearing this Nike windbreaker jacket and it was zipped all the way up and it had been raining, so I had the hood on too. And so I didn't really look like a nice Christian. I looked like I was fresh out of an episode of Top Boy. And I was on my way over to this guy, and I'll never forget, as I was walking over, he turns and looks at me, and I kid you not, he goes, "No, no, 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 no." And in my mind, I'm like, oh, this poor gentleman, he thinks I'm going to try to steal his wallet, you know. So he's walking away, and I'm like, I need to tell him it's okay. So I was like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And so I'm running after him, and he's running away from me, all in Jesus' name. And so we're running, and as he's running, all of a sudden, because of Cottesloe, it's like these grassy slopes. Anyone ever been to Cottesloe before? And so he turns, and his foot catches one of these uneven bits of ground, and he stumbles and falls onto the floor. And now this gentleman is no longer running away from me. He's now commando crawling away from me on all fours. And I was like, I really need to tell him now that, you know, God loves him. And so I get over to him, and he looks, I'll never forget the look in his eyes. It's nothing like looking in a 40-year-old man's eyes filled with fear and trepidation. And I remember him doing one final plea of no. I looked down at him. I said, "Hey, bro, Jesus loves you." And he goes, "Okay." And then I walked away. And that was my reaching those far from God moment. Now, how do you know we all love the good story, you know, where they get saved and now they're in church and stand up. It was actually Nadine King. She's the connect group, you know. But that wasn't this story. We all love that outcome. But how many of you know sometimes you try reach those far from God and it just doesn't really go to plan, you know? You can kind of feel like you've made a fool of yourself, like it didn't really go well. And I have experienced in my life that when it comes to reaching those far from God, the most effective formula, if you will, that I've discovered to be an effective witness for Jesus is simply the commandment of Mary in John chapter 2. Rather than trying to get a formula and process, it's to listen to God and then do what He tells me to do. That's why I believe Jesus said this in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, I believe. He said, verse 19, he said to them, follow me. Someone say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. How do we learn to reach those far from God? How do we become better at being witnessed? The answer is simple. Learn to follow Jesus. Learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learn to do what he tells, because he says, if you follow him, he will then make you into a fisher of men. He will then make you into someone that reaches those far from God. I have found for me, the best way to reach those effectively for the kingdom of God is to simply listen and then do whatever Jesus tells me to do. And you know, in our society, we love process, we love formula, because we can cut, copy, paste, and rinse and repeat. But God is wanting us to be more dependent on a person than a process. And so I don't have a 5 steps on how to share the gospel tonight, though those sermons are good. I don't have a formula, though I believe in that equipping. But my message for you tonight is simple. It's simply lean into the voice of God. And when you feel like you've heard him speak, just do whatever he tells you to do. Because we look into this passage of scripture here, and you know, it talks about that Jesus told the disciples to grab the stone jars of water, and he said, fill the jars with water in verse 7. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. And you know, we would like to zone in on this passage and be like, okay, was it the jars that were special? Maybe it was the water that was special. Maybe it was the time of the lunar calendar year that really helped that water turn into wine. And we try and forensically diagnose all the key factors. But I want to tell you, the reason water turned into wine that night isn't because of special jars or special water or special time. It's because they obeyed the instructions of Jesus. And I want to encourage you that God wants things that are water, normal daily life, to become supernatural, to become moments to share the gospel, become opportunities for Jesus to show up, to become wine moments in your life. But you need to learn, and I need to learn, it is not your responsibility nor my responsibility to turn water into wine. That's God's job. Our job is to simply obey what he tells us to do. Our job is to simply obey the instructions of the Lord. And so I want to just share 3 keys about obedience tonight. And my prayer is that they would stir you. My prayer is that they would encourage you. And my prayer is that they would equip you to obey the voice of the Lord in your life. Is this okay so far? Point number one, if you're taking notes, is obedience can feel random. Can we just think for a second? It says this, standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing, and each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. This is Jesus, like God of the universe, the same God that made bread appear on the floor for 40 years for people walking through the wilderness out of nowhere. This is the same God that caused water to flow from a rock in the middle of a desert. This is the same God that changed the economic system of a whole country in one day. This is a God that found a widow and let oil keep flowing out of her jar. You know, have you just thought for a moment, there might have been easier ways for God to produce wine? Like, surely God just be like, bang, here's some wine. But what I've noticed is God is actually a bit more interested in you learning to hear and obey him than in producing an outcome in your life. God can just come up and rock up to every non-believer in a dream tonight and say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, give your life to me. And there are times through prayer that happens, but I find more often than not, it is his delight to find servants that are listening, to find people that are eagerly willing to obey, people to work with, and to be effectively used by God. We need to lay down the idol in our mind that for God to speak to me, it needs to make sense to me. Because sometimes God's instructions will come in a package that are random. And if you, in your just initial thoughts, reject it because of its randomness, you might miss out on a miracle in the making. You know, filling jars with water almost seemed unnecessary, but in it was the instruction that led to the miracle in the making. A few weeks ago, I was having a day off. I love a good day off. Who loves a day off? A lot of my stories are from days off, you know. Most of Jesus' miracles were on the Sabbath too. So me and Jesus, love a day off. Anyway, so, but a bit of a prequel to this story is, you know, we used to have our church service in the Hayden Court, just literally down the road, on the back of Bunnings. And I had a buddy of mine who was a worker in Bunnings. And occasionally I'd be packing down youth at night or on a Sunday night, and he'd be in the trade department, and we'd see each other through the fence. It was like a prison visit, you know? I'd like see him. And so I'd go up to the fence and we'd just have conversation. And he would always ask about God and church. He wasn't Christian. In fact, it honestly felt a lot of the time like he was mocking my faith. He was mocking Christianity. And, you know, he'd be like, oh, you know, how'd you go tonight? And I was like, yeah, no, it was good. I always be like, hey, bro, you should come. He's like, nah, bro, that's not for me, man. I was like, you got to come sometime. And offer to pray for him. He's like, nah, that's not for me. But he's always curious. He'd always ask questions. And that was kind of the extent of our conversation. Anyway, he left Bunnings onto bigger and better things. And I left there because our church moved here. And apart from seeing him around every now and then, that was kind of the end of that relationship. Until a couple weeks ago, I was at home in prayer, and while I was praying, I just had what I would call a holy imagination. You might call it a vision, but a lot of times God speaks to me in random ideas, and if I'm not careful, I'll miss it because it has the voice of God in it. And I had this thought of, I saw King's Park in my mind. I saw a picture of King's Park, and I saw it was a cloudy day, and I had this thought to go to King's Park, hire a Beam It electric scooter, jump on the scooter and ride into the city to get a coffee. And I was like, I just really don't want to do that. If I'm honest, like my idea of a day off is like a good Netflix show and a sleep in the morning, you know, not going outside. And so anyway, I was talking to God. I was like, you know what, I'm going to go. I looked outside and it was cloudy. I was like, maybe, okay, you know, just testing the waters. So I went there and got to King's Park and got my little purple Beam It scooter, clipped my purple helmet on, you know, wearing my shorts and my French football top, you know, AirPods in, listening to a sermon. I'm just riding down the city and I'm riding along, and as I'm riding down, I see a street, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I used to go skateboarding down there. I was like, I might as well check that out. And so I pull in, and as I pull into this spot, you wouldn't believe who's standing outside, this guy from Bunnings that I used to talk to. He takes a look at me and he is like, no way. There is no, and he begins to say, he has been praying recently and he's been asking God for a sign to show him, God, are you real? And he's like, and then you, of all people, show up here today. We can thank God for this. And then, so I have a conversation with him, and I was like, bro, you're never going to believe it. I was at home, and I had an idea to come. This is not my normal Monday, just so you know. You know, he's in his beautifully tailored suit, and here I am with my purple helmet and my scooter. It's like, what is going on? But what was the most random thought had the signature of God all over it? We began to chat, and he began to tell me how he's been praying recently, and he's been reading scripture, and he's been listening to Billy Graham's sermons, and how he's felt so stirred. And he went on a trip to Europe recently, but he didn't really enjoy what his friends were doing because they're partying and drinking. And he's like, I don't really want to live that type of lifestyle. And the hand of God is so evidently on him. I began to ask him, bro, well, how's your relationship with God going? He's like, man, I'm trying as best as I can. And God has been working in his life. And I was like, hey, bro, can I pray for you? And he was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, come on, bro, just we'll keep our eyes open. And people will think we're talking, it's fine. He was like, okay. And so we prayed with our eyes open, me and my purple helmet, him in his nice tailored suit. And we had a beautiful moment where God showed up. And I remember leaving that situation that day, and I realized, man, if I dismissed the thought in the morning because of its randomness, I would have missed the God opportunity that was there. See, sometimes miracles start as stone jars. Sometimes what you want to see in your life, sometimes what you want to see in your workplace, it might come in the form of the most random idea you could ever have. It might be like, man, it's the middle of a Tuesday and I just feel in my heart, I need to take my lunch break outside. This is so strange. Or it might feel like I need to go knock on my manager's door. It might feel like I need to actually go to my neighbor's house and knock on their door. Hello, actually go to their house with an invite card to church. It might look like actually reaching out to that family member you've been estranged to. I don't know what it is, but I want to encourage you. Even if it feels random, don't dismiss it, because sometimes the randomness has the fingerprint of God on it. Point number one tonight is this: obedience can feel random. And then they fill the jars with water. When the jars have been filled, verse number 8, he said, now dip some out and take it to the masters of the ceremony. So the servants followed his instructions. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for the servants in this story because they did not have water corporation with plumbing lines to their houses. And there were 6 stone jars, 20 to 30 gallons. I don't know how many liters that is, but I feel like it's a few, probably more than 4. Praise God. Strikes again. And so they had to take the jars, the heavy jar, to the water source, which would have been the well, which would have been on the outside of town. They had to carry it on their shoulders backwards and forwards and then go again backwards and forwards. They had to do it 6 times to get all the, and it wasn't just put a bit of water in the jars, it was fill the jars to the brim. Like surely 2/3 is good enough, you know? But no, they obeyed the full instruction of the Lord. And I just imagine being the servants finally getting back to the wedding, like, oh, thank goodness that is done. And then Jesus, like, now take some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. How many of you know that's a very uncomfortable thing to do? This isn't in a day and age where, you know, there's a good justice system to defend you. No, remember John the Baptist got beheaded in jail because a girl did a dance that pleased the king. Like, this is a crazy time. And so I could only imagine the servant's terror at the thought of what will happen when I bring this cup of water to the master of ceremonies. Am I going to get punished? Am I going to get put in jail? And he's probably terrified, but I love it. Even though he was terrified, he obeyed the voice of God. In fact, I just want to pause right here and say, don't wait for your fear to go away before you obey the voice of God, but learn to obey him even with fear. Learn to obey him even with timidity. Don't let your fear be greater than your obedience to God. And so point number one, obedience can feel random, but point number two, obedience can be uncomfortable. You know, I don't know if you've learned this yet about following Jesus, but his idea of your comfort zone and your idea of your comfort zone are 2 different ideas. Because you might be like, well, nah, I'm just not that type of, I'm not really a Pastor Ben Fitzgerald type person. I'm more of a, you know, tithe from the corner and stick to myself type of person. And that's my contribution. And I'm not dismissing financial giving. I'm not dismissing other areas. But if you limit what God might ask you to do just because it makes you feel uncomfortable, you actually might be missing what God's asking you to do. Because Jesus didn't just ask them to do something random. He asked them to do something wildly uncomfortable. And they had to take this cup of water to the master of ceremonies. Remember, it wasn't wine yet. They took water over to the master. I want to encourage you, just because it's uncomfortable, just because you have fear in your heart in the moment, doesn't mean it's not God speaking to you in that moment. And when we can learn to realize that God gets control of our comfort zones, not us, we'll set ourselves up for a win to hear and obey his voice. And maybe there are some things that you said, I would never do that. I would never pray for someone to be healed. I would never share my faith in public. I would never make a post on Instagram about my faith. I'm not that type of person. I want to encourage you, let God demolish the boundary lines of your mind tonight. Because I'm not saying go and do something purposefully uncomfortable. I'm just simply saying if God instructs you to do something that makes you uncomfortable, obey him anyway. You know, I remember a few years ago, I felt God asked me to do something very uncomfortable. I was working at the Apple store in Garden City, and I walked up to work one day, and there was this girl there, and she'd been out drinking the night before, and because of that, she stumbled around, bumped into a pole, and now she's got a bandage on her arm, and she's in a lot of pain, but she showed up for work, praise God. And so I remember just kind of hearing this story, and the thought entered my mind, like, Matt, you should probably pray for her. Have you ever had a time where you just kind of, you're like, I don't know if this is God, but I hope it's not, so I'm not disobedient and I don't do it. And I'm like looking at her, I'm looking at my manager, I'm looking at my assistant manager, I'm looking at all the other staff members that aren't Christian, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this. And up to this point, I hadn't really seen anyone ever really healed when I prayed for them. I didn't have a great track record. It was just, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so intimidated, but I just feel like in my mind, I should do this. And so I mustered up all the courage that I had and I went on my 15-minute break instead. So walking out, and literally as I get near the doors of the Apple store to go outside, I was talking to the Lord. And I don't know if you do this, but you know, in your head, you just talk in a conversation with God. And I'm like, God, help me. I feel scared. I'm nervous, God. I just ask that God, help me to obey you now rather than apologize later. And I just turned around, absolutely terrified. And I walked out the back and I was like, all right, God,
you got to set this thing up if that's what you want. And I opened the back door and I get there and you wouldn't believe who's standing there all by herself in the middle. It's this girl. And I was like, okay, we're on here. Now, I don't know about you, but have you found that when you try step out in faith, your ability to communicate goes rapidly downhill? You're like normally a really calm, collective guy. And then it's just you and some random girl in the back of the Apple store. And you're like, hey. You know, and she's like, hi. And I was like, how's your elbow? She's like, yeah, no, it's pretty painful. I was like, okay. And in my mind, I'm starting to catastrophize, you know. I'm imagining, hey, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And she's like, how dare you offer to pray for me? You're imposing religion on me. Hey, managers, come in here. You know, and just like, and then everyone like picks up rocks and starts throwing them at me. And I get dragged through the streets and people are like, give us Barabbas. I'm like, please stop, stop. Catastrophizing my mind. And then I just clumsily blurted out. I was like, hey, it sounds random, I'm a Christian, but would you be okay if I was to pray for you? And she was like, yeah, oh my gosh, that'd be great. I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, what do I do? And I was like, that's a great question. You just stand there. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to place my hand on your shoulder. And we're going to pray. She's like, okay. So she's the happiest person in the world. It was like she was leading me through the prayer, you know? So I prayed for her and I was like, God, I pray would you heal her? And I pray for mobility and flexibility to return to this elbow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And she drops her arm. And then this look of shock runs across her face. And then the next words out of her mouth were, holy beep. And then I looked at her and I was like, holy beep. No. I wasn't. I was calm and collected and put together. But in my mind, this is the first time I'd seen a miracle in the workplace. And so inwardly, I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. It's like one of those stories we hear about. But outwardly, I'm like, this type of thing happens all the time. And I was like, okay, here's my moment. And then all of a sudden she starts crying because she feels terrible that she's just started swearing. And I'm like, it's okay. She's like, oh, what's happening? And I was like, this is a sign. This is God. And signs point to places, and this is pointing you to God. This is the worst sermon of my life, you know. And I was like, God wants a relationship with you. She's like, okay, you know. And then I walked away, and that was the end of the conversation. I would love to say I led her through the prayer. I just didn't know what I was doing. I just did my best to obey what God told me to do. But can I tell you, I'm so grateful I didn't allow my comfort to be greater than my willingness to obey the voice of God. And sometimes God's going to ask you to obey things and it's going to feel random. And sometimes God is going to ask you to obey things and it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. But I want to encourage you, if you hear the voice of God, don't discard it because it's random. Don't discard it because you're uncomfortable. Obey the voice of the Lord anyway. Sometimes we think, because it's God, it's going to be easy. Sometimes God will ask you to do the most difficult things of your life. Following Jesus is one of the most difficult things you'll ever do in your life. But if you're following Him, He'll give you the ability to go the whole way through. And so I want to encourage you to even consider, if you're in a situation and you feel the Lord prompt your heart to do something, understand God in His sovereignty has already calculated that He trusts your ability to do it. And so maybe God's just got a greater opinion of you than you have about you. Maybe God sees more in you than you see in yourself. And so if you're next to someone in a wheelchair and you're like, I'm not the wheelchair praying guys, but the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I want you to pray for them. You've got to realize, I guess now I'm the wheelchair praying guy, because God's opinion of you is greater than your opinion of yourself. Sometimes obedience is random. Sometimes obedience is uncomfortable. And point number three, obedience brings breakthrough. I would love to invite the worship team to come join me. John chapter 2, verse 9. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone's had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine until now. I just wonder, when did the water become wine? Because the Bible doesn't actually say, was it step three, step four? Was it the moment the master of the ceremonies took the cup? Was it the moment he drank it? Was it when it got into his stomach? We don't know. Knowing God, it was probably right at the last second. But here's this poor servant who's just worked an 8-hour shift to fill up these jars of water, now terribly afraid, carrying this cup of water. Can you imagine being him? Looking at this clay jar of water or bronze or whatever they were serving it with, being like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if this means I'm going to be in jail, if I need to say goodbye to my wife. Like, what's going on? I'm afraid. I'm trembling. And he brings it to the master of the ceremonies. And the Bible says that the water that had become wine, he then called over the bridegroom. I actually sensed in my spirit tonight that the reason God never tells us when the water becomes wine is because he wants us to know that's not your job nor mine. Water into wine is something that you can never do. Healing is something you can never do. Salvation is something you can never do. Seeing someone come into a relationship with God is something you and I can never do. But what you can do is you can take the posture of a servant. What you can do is you can obey the voice of God. What you can do is listen and obey. And when you hear him do it, even if it's random, even if it's uncomfortable, and when you do that, God will look after the miracle. Water turns into wine when you choose to obey his voice. Obedience brings breakthrough. The lepers were healed when Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Sometimes the power of God on a word is only activated when we obey. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. These lepers are standing there still full of leprosy. But the moment they turned and they started walking towards the temple to find the priest, it was as they went, that's where healing took place in their body. I want to encourage you, when you hear the word of God tell you to do something, you might be like, man, it looks like water. But as you go, it becomes wine. It's as you obey, the power of God gets released. I feel like there might be two or three people in this room tonight, and God's spoken to you about doing something. Maybe it's giving a portion of money away to someone in need. Maybe it's sharing your faith in a particular way. But there's some type of idea that you've had mulling around in your mind and you haven't done it yet, and you're a bit afraid. You're afraid what the outcome's gonna be. You're afraid, or are you gonna lose your job? What's gonna happen? I just wanna encourage you tonight. It's not your job to turn water into wine. You just obey the voice of God. And I wanna prophesy the power of God on that word will be released as you obey that word. It's as we go, the miracles happen. The blind man was healed when he went to the pool of Siloam. It's our action that activates God's word. So we all want the miracle testimony. We all want to see people saved, but this isn't really an equipping on how to evangelize. It's simply an encouragement to you and I to listen, obey, and do whatever he tells you to do. And so a question we need to ask ourselves tonight is how? Someone say how. How do we hear the voice of God? Because in order to do what he tells you to do, you need to hear what he's telling you to do. In order to obey the voice of God, you need to hear the voice of God. And you know, the truth is, every individual in this room has the ability to hear the voice of God. In fact, if you're in this room tonight and Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, that in and of itself is evidence you've already heard his voice. I know it didn't sound like a booming voice from the cloud. I know it felt like a small impression in your heart, but right there, that was the voice of the Lord. How do I know that? Jesus said this in John 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone, someone say everyone, who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. In other words, if you've come to Jesus, it's because you heard the Father. So if you call yourself a Christian, good news, you can hear God's voice. And we all start there. We begin our relationship with God there. And I know for me, when I was 11 years old, I grew up in a Christian home. I knew about God, but I'll never forget being in a service like this, sitting up the back, there's a preacher on the stage, Pastor John Mez, and he began to talk about Jesus and how Jesus wants to save me. He wants to warm my heart with his love. And I'll never forget, though I already knew about God, something was happening inside me. It was like butterflies were going off. It was like every word he was saying was just for me. It was like a spotlight was on me. And even though I would call myself a Christian, I knew I needed to respond. See, I didn't hear a booming voice, but I felt an impression. But what I felt, that was the voice of God. And in a few moments' time, if you're here tonight and you're far from God, you're not in right standing with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get your life back on track with Jesus tonight. The good news is you don't have to work. You don't have to perform. You don't have to try to clean yourself up. You just need to come to Jesus. He died on a cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. And the good news is, if you choose to believe in him, your sins get totally forgiven. Your past gets totally wiped away. Your shame gets removed. Your disappointment, your grief in your heart gets absolutely washed clean. You get a brand new life. And not only a new life on this side of eternity, you get to go to heaven for all of eternity with him. And it's not because you're a good person or I'm a good person, it's because he's a good God. And this good God died a sinner's death for sinners like you and me. And when we sinners accept Jesus, he washes us clean and he makes us good in his sight. In a few moments time, I'm gonna give you an opportunity, but I wanna speak to people in this room that you'd call yourself a Christian. That is evidence that you can hear the voice of God, and where many of us start our journey of faith there, I want to submit to you tonight, that's a place God wants us to learn to stay. It's a place of continually learning to listen and hear the voice of God. See, in order to do what he tells you, it's actually very simple. You and I just need to live a life close enough to hear him speak. If you want to be someone who does what God tells you to do, it's actually a lifestyle change of living a lifestyle close enough to his throne, close enough to his presence, that should he whisper, you'd be the first to hear him. We all want the miracle. We all want God to use us, but are you living a lifestyle that listens? Are you living a lifestyle of intimacy? Are you living a lifestyle of closeness to God? You know, last week we had a beautiful panel here of ministry in the marketplace, and Pastor Shannon asked Ernie this question. Ernie had these amazing testimonies of words of knowledge and miracles, and Pastor Shannon asked him, Ernie, if anyone's hearing your story and they're feeling intimidated because like, man, I'm just not like that. I don't operate, I don't hear God that way. What would you say to them? And Ernie paused and looked at the room and said, hey, who here would like that? Who would like words of knowledge? Who would like God to use them? And the whole room lifted their hands. And he said, you know, there's actually a part that we have to play. And for him, that part is called prayer. And he began to share his testimony. Before he saw any miracles in the workplace, God called him to a year of seeking his face every single evening. And he learned to live a lifestyle of intimacy. He learned to live a lifestyle of closeness. He learned to live a lifestyle of proximity. That because he was now close enough, God began to speak and miracles took place. The best ideas you'll ever have will come from the throne of heaven, not your mind. The best business strategy you'll ever have will come from his throne, not yours. The best idea on where do you send your kid to school will come from his throne, not yours. When you got to realize God actually wants your non-Christian family born again more than you do. God actually wants revival in our city and state more than we do. God wants this city to know Jesus more than we do. But the way we get there, we've got to realize there's no strategy and process. There's only a person, and his name is Jesus. And you and I need to learn to live a lifestyle of closeness, of intimacy, of proximity, because when we're there, we'll hear him. There's a scripture in Psalm 84, and I'll close on this. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the Lord. I'll shout joyfully to the living God. Verse 3, even the sparrow finds a home, and even the swallow builds a nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. I just so prophetically sense that for us as a campus. Even the swallow builds a home and raises her young at a place near your throne.
your mundane life, my mundane life, my Monday, your Monday, your Tuesday, our going to football club, our raising of our kids, you know, things that we do, the normalness of life. I believe there's an invitation tonight to start to do the normal near the presence of God. To start to live every day in close proximity, to start to prioritize intimacy, to come back to prayer, to come back to fellowship, to come back to closeness, because when you can learn to live there, see, it doesn't say the swallow visits a nest, it says she builds a nest near the throne. God is wanting us to build our lives in and around His presence, close to His throne. When you can do that, when I can do that, we'll be amazed at what God does through us. The Bible is riddled with example after example after example of ministry, what we would call ministry success, that was really birthed through intimacy with God. Talks about Peter was hungry, went up to his roof to pray, and that's where he had a vision, and that's where God opened up the Gentiles to the church, not in a strategy meeting, in a prayer meeting on a rooftop in Jerusalem. It was actually on a random day that Cornelius, who was devoted to prayer, who devoted himself to giving, he was in on the third hour of the time of prayer, an angel appears to him and says, Cornelius, go send for a man from Joppa called Peter, and he was going to tell you the way of salvation. That didn't happen because Cornelius planned a mission trip. It was because he was in the place of prayer. Philip evangelized to the eunuch, and Ethiopia gets saved and is radically different today because he heard the voice of God. In Acts 13, the apostles, it says this, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. And they went out and they see a whole region impacted by the gospel, but it came because the apostles were in prayer and in worship. They prioritized intimacy, and then the strategy came. Paul the Apostle was praying in the temple, Acts 22 records. And in that place of prayer, he has a vision of Jesus. And Jesus begins to instruct him, says, Paul, I've called you to reach the Gentiles for the gospel. And Paul receives his commissioning as the apostle to the Gentiles, not in a nice strategy or in a good idea, but in a prayer meeting in a temple. Can you and I just imagine for a moment what God could do in your workplace, what God could do in your high school, what God could do in your university, in your Tuesday morning lecture, in your Wednesday afternoon workshop, in your football club, in your playgroup, if you and I could just learn to build out our nests and live our lives in close proximity to Him. My message is so simple tonight. Do whatever He tells you to do, but in order to hear Him, come close to Him. And coming close is not an altar call on a Sunday, it's a lifestyle of proximity. It's a waking up on a Tuesday morning and saying, Holy Spirit, I give you this day. It's praying in tongues on the drive to work. It's carving out time. Just like you would book a meeting for a friend, you book a meeting for God, and you show up to it, and He shows up to it for you. Maybe for you, God's going to speak to you about knocking on your neighbor's door. Maybe He's going to tell you to stand by the water cooler. He might speak to you today about a strategy. He might speak to you at the checkout on Wednesday to tell the girl there Jesus loves her. He might tell you to do something radical. He might tell you to do something menial. He might tell you to do something random. He might not even tell you to do anything at all. But my question for you tonight is this: will you live a life close enough to hear Him speak? Because He's not looking for master evangelists, He's looking for servants that are willing to carry water. He doesn't need someone else with their vat of wine selling it in the streets. He's just looking for servants that will take His water and obey His voice.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.